The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Southwest Iowa. Participating in today's public affairs program are Kit Cameron of KCHA Radio in Charles City and Jamie Whitney of the Pocahontas Record Democrat. The first question will come from KCHA's Kit.
Hello, Senator Grassley. Hope you're having a nice day.
Yes, it is beautiful down here in Southwest Iowa.
It's also beautiful in Charles City. My first question has to do with a very popular question of GMO labeling. Since modern marketing strategies already call for constant package updating, and many U.S. manufacturers, such as cereal companies like Kellogg's, they already have to label products for GMO content to other countries. It seems rather odd that anyone would argue against allowing U.S. citizens the right to choose what they're eating. Don't you think that U.S. citizens should have the right to know what they're eating, just like people in European nations do?
Yeah, as long as it's science-based and it has some consumer value. But I'm not sure just saying that putting GMO in a product is going to give the... But that is the immediate problem. The immediate problem is whether 50 different states ought to have 50 different ways of saying things ought to be labeled. So one of the constitutional powers of Congress is to regulate foreign and interstate commerce. So we ought to have one rule that is the same for the entire country, and that it would be in Congressman Papeo's bill that passed the House, and I think that should pass the Senate. And I would vote for it if it went through the Senate. And then that would have uniform labeling throughout the country.
So you do think people should have the right to know whether or not their products are GMO?
I think that, first of all, let's deal with the issue of having uniform labeling. Vermont's passed a law. A couple other states have passed a law. They aren't exactly the same law. And whatever we do, we've got to have uniform labeling.
Jamie?
Good afternoon, Senator. Last month, the Senate Finance Committee voted overwhelmingly to extend tax credits for wind, biodiesel, and cellulose of ethanol through 2016. Some critics say the tax credits pick winners and losers, but they're obviously a boon for Iowa. Do you see the tax credits continuing to have support from Congress?
Yes, I think they'll pass in September or October, and I'm going to vote for them. They came out of committee with a wide consensus. Not only the ones that you named, but 52 altogether would be the total number that need to be renewed, and I would vote for them. The people that say it's picking winners and losers are people that weren't around 20 years ago when we knew that we were not going to have enough petroleum and gas. We didn't want to be dependent on foreign sources of energy. So we started promoting alternative energy. Now, of course, we got plenty of natural gas and oil, and so. But they don't know that. So in the final analysis, I think we got all this taxpayer money invested. We ought to see them to maturity and then do away with them at that point.
Senator Grassley, there's a theory on terrorism that says that many Middle Eastern organizations that focus on terrorism are actually funded by oil and drugs. Now, if the U.S. legalized some beneficial and useful drugs, for example, like hemp, which, of course, has many good uses, including replenishing our soil, as well as providing textile and paper products, and, of course, the medical benefits of marijuana, but if the U.S. were to legalize those, that we will also be spending less money on law enforcement and military. And my question is, what are your thoughts on that theory?
I have three different approaches to marijuana. One, for recreational marijuana, I would want to be shown that it doesn't lead to harder drugs before I would vote to legalize that. For medical marijuana, I support it being done through the Food and Drug Administration like we do other drugs to make sure that it's safe and to make sure that it is effective. And thirdly, on industrial marijuana, we've already provided for that in the last farm bill, and it's up to the individual states to move ahead there. And consequently, we're in the process of trying to do the medicinal marijuana in the Congress right now?
Social Security just reached 80 years as a program. What needs to be done to ensure it's available for future generations?
Well, I'll give you a process answer instead of a substantive answer with all the ideas that it takes to make it right, because the process is at the beginning is the most important thing or nothing's going to get done. And that is that you have to have a president, doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or Democrat, sit down with both political parties in the Congress and come up with a bipartisan plan, because Social Security is so politically sensitive that no members of Congress are going to move ahead if a president isn't going to sign it. So the cooperation between the president and both political parties is a necessary first step to getting to finality on reform of Social Security. But for sure, it needs to be reformed.
With the reference to two political party system that we have, and bipartisan, everything's always referring to two political parties, period, as if there are no others. In fact, some studies show that when people are actually questioned on their beliefs, a lot of people really don't fully align with either one of the two parties. What do you think about trying to push to, so that we get away from a two-party system and have more debate and more opportunity for other viable candidates to really be considered in a national arena, yeah, whereas now it's really limited to just two parties?
Well, there isn't a political point of view that can't be made, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, independent, social worker. You can name 10 political parties that are on the ballot. And as long as other political parties can get on the ballot, it's a point of those political parties becoming more famous. We've got plenty of political parties. Obviously, I agree with you. We have two main political parties, and two-thirds of the people are connected with either the Republican or Democrat party. One-third are independent. But I don't want to get to a point where we start electing so many people that one political party can't make up a majority, because I've watched the European countries really have a difficult time governing, getting a working majority when you don't have any one political party be in the majority. And I don't want to repeat the errors of Europe.
Earlier this month, China devalued its currency, obviously causing problems in the U.S. market, and it could impact U.S. farmers, Iowa farmers specifically. What can Congress or the executive branch do to combat the currency manipulation?
Yeah. Such currency manipulation is an indirect subsidy to a country's exports, and it's wrong, and we ought to take care of it. And so, number one, what Congress can do, I voted for amendments to trade bills to have currency manipulation being involved in the negotiation on trade agreements. That's what Congress can do. What the president can do under existing law is label any country, and China is the most prominent one, label any country a currency manipulator. The trouble is both Republican presidents are reluctant to do that, both Republican and Democrat. But it irritates me that they aren't willing to do it, because China's got to be shown that we are not going to tolerate that. But so far, they hear us cry wolf all the time, and nothing changes because the presidents won't make those decisions.
Thank you, Kit and Jamie, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.